Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, my buddy, Danny Jollis.
Hey.
Hey.
What's happening?
A clap. It's a definite.
I appreciate how quickly you brought me in. A lot of times there's a very long like intro portion. I have to like sit quietly.
Not on this one.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
Not successful enough to have an intro portion. No sponsors to worry about.
Sometimes it's just sponsors. Sometimes they just talk and they're like, but they have an intro to you. So you just have to like sit there.
You ever, you do those podcasts sometimes, I'm sure you probably have, where they like spend a long time talking you up before they actually introduce you. And it's like the most extended, awful version of somebody introducing you on stage and saying like way too many credits.
Oh, for sure. But at least when you go on stage, at least when someone does it on stand up, you're like, all right, but I'm about to do the thing I'm good at. So it's right. Like, I'll be able, but it's like with this podcast where I'm like, I'm not even good at this. This is I'm debatably a bad podcast guest, if not mediocre. And I'm like, oh man, I'm just never going to live up to what you're saying. It's horrible, horrible feeling.
Well, I'm not worried about you today, Danny, because in Blockbusting, we exist in the mediocre. And one thing, by the way, that you're not mediocre at, Danny and I have gone way back. I've known Danny since I basically first moved to L.A. We used to see each other in commercial audition rooms all the time and at stand-up spots and stuff. And now he has a new special and album that just came out.
Yeah.
Six parts.
Six parts on YouTube for free. We put it out for free. Big deal.
It's a good move. And
I think it's the way to go.
Yeah. So it's six different formats, six different areas of you doing literally six different parts, six different places.
Yeah, six different places, six different. So we do a gym, a barbershop, then with Don't Tell Comedy. So kind of their general, we just sort of make a show anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's six different locations and it's six 10-minute chunks that all cover a topic. Cause that's like, I think I always want to do specials that kind of, in theory, I want to always do specials that elevate the material, like whatever I'm working on stage, figuring out a way to make it work on film. Mm-hmm. And for this special, I was like, you know, I headline on the road, obviously, and I do an hour, but most of my time in comedy so far in my life has been 10-minute spots.
Right.
And I know how to do 10 minutes really well. And so I was like, I wanted it to be like six 10-minute chunks that really each of them are, I think, really beautiful and stand on their own. And together that makes one special.
So that's very cool. And how long had you, obviously, you know, given you released it now, last year, you probably didn't really get a chance to do much stand up at all. So what led you to want to finally get these clips and chunks and put them together and put the special out?
Well, so we filmed pre-COVID. So it is a pre-COVID special, which is lovely. And then, you know, COVID hits and we were like, it was editing. Then we edited it. Then there is a very strange world of specials with comedy where basically everybody wanted me to not put this on YouTube and sell it to various streamers, which would have been okay money and a great way to have nobody ever see it. Mm-hmm. And it took me months to really build up the courage to be like, I'm not doing that. I just want it out there. I just want people to be able to see it. So I really fought. So that took a while. And then we got near the election and I was like, I'm not putting this out until this election's over. Mm-hmm. And then the election ended. It was. I stood by that decision. I was like, once we got near like August, I was like, it's done for the year. I was like, I'm not putting this out until, in my mind, I was like, we'll do December. And then the day after the election, when Trump was like, I didn't lose, I was like, It ain't going to be till next year. This is going to be more of this, and I'm not dealing with this. I'm not promoting during this. And
right. So you don't want to get stuck in the morass of everybody just continuing to freak out until we have a solid, like, all right, everybody can stop fucking so Monday morning quarterbacking this forever and ever and ever.
Uh-huh. So I just was like, that's it. I'm done. So we just put it on. So I was like, we pushed it a couple times because I was like, I'm not battling through what was going to, I didn't even know like insurrection was going to happen, but I just like knew there'd be trouble. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not dealing with that. So now it's out, but it's been in the can for forever. And I knew it was going to pretty early. I saw a cut and was like, this is going out. Like I knew it was going out.
Wow. Good news.
We liked it. And now it's out. Yay. It's out.
Well, go check it out on YouTube. 6 parts. Danny's great. You're going to love it. The things you're not going to love, though, maybe. I don't know how big of a Disney fan our listeners are, because I'm notoriously not a huge Disney
animation person. I'm a massive Disney fan. Love Disney animation.
Mm-hmm. I think...
But that does not mean that this movie does not deserve to be called out.
And this movie is Bambi.
One of the worst movies ever made in the history of movies. To be clear, love Disney. Huge Disney fan. Disney stock owner. That's how much I believe in the Disney product.
Oh, wow.
But I think they're just a phenomenal company that knows that just continues to make great moves. Mm-hmm. But my God, does this movie stink?
This movie is, it's one of those movies that, like, I remember, we were talking a little bit about this before the show, but I remember watching it as a child, and then I don't think I watched it since then. And it's sort of in the zeitgeist a lot as the thing of like, oh, well, I remember the first time I ever cried in a movie was when Bambi's mom died. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, sort of vaguely, like it didn't stick with me the way that other Disney movies from my childhood did, like Little Mermaid, Aladdin, all of the Emperor's New Groove, all these movies that like I vividly remember. But this just kind of like, you know, was in and it was out. In one eye, out the other eye, I guess. Is that what you can say about watching movies instead of listening to them?
Yeah. That's fair. In one eye, out the other.
But now I watched it again this morning before we recorded, and it's still just kind of like, it just whizzed right by, and I don't really care about it.
Why? I've said forever, what is the plot of Bambi? What is the plot of this movie? There is no plot line.
There's no plot.
There's no story. The story is he's a young deer and stuff happens. And then really sad stuff happens. Mm-hmm. But we never got invested in him. We never had a goal. We've never have a journey. It's just a deer living.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of friends that show up but have no emotional payoff in any way. And then the ending is just sad and depressing. There's no journey, though.
This movie is, I think, one of the only movies that I've seen in a while that's purely based on, we're going to create a vibe and we're going to try and suck you in on the vibe, that I thought completely failed at doing that. Because there's no, I didn't feel any sort of emotional connection to anything that was going on. Even Bambi's mom dying, first of all, happens off camera. And then second of all, you find out about it a full like 2 minutes after the fact. I mean, you can put the pieces together, I guess, if you're trying to be savvy. But Bambi as a film does not allow you, I don't know. It just it disappointed me. I want to know, Danny, what was your experience like watching Bambi, figuring out that you didn't like it as being such a big Disney fan as you are?
Well, as a kid, so I remember as a kid being like, I hate this movie. I wasn't able to articulate why, but I remember always being like, I loved Disney movies, and it was Bambi and Dumbo were the two that I was like, what are these? Mm-hmm. What are these movies? These movies are bad. I didn't like them. And like Dumbo, because it was just so sad and weird. And then Bambi, traumatic. I remember just, Dumbo's tough, but at least Dumbo has a plot.
Yeah.
Dumbo has a plot. Mom's gone. Got to get the mom back. Got it. We're following a story. Bambi you know, it's just this thing where you remember as a kid, like, I didn't really like it. And then you watch it a little bit older. And I remember watching it being like, I now know movie structure a little bit. This makes no sense. Then I'm an adult and I watch it again. And I'm like, okay, now I've written movies. Now I've watched a lot of adult movies. Mm-hmm. Who let this happen? And how did this get, how is this movie still respected? It is plotless.
It has such a huge amount of people loving it. It's got named as one of the top 10 best animated films of all time by the American Film Institute.
AFI. Oh, ridiculous.
Yeah. It's listed as one of the top 25 horror movies of all time by Time Magazine. Garbage.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. on multiple levels, that's garbage.
This is a direct quote from Time Magazine. Bambi has a primal shock that still haunts oldsters who saw it 40, 50, or 65 years ago.
What? Prime? What?
Think of the oldsters, Danny.
For what scene even is the horror scene? The one where the mom dies? Is that the one we're talking about? It's so undeserved.
If you cried when Bambi's mom died, then you have no hope to develop normal emotions at all, I think. I think if you cried when Bambi's mom died, then you just,
and as a, it's
you
like,
got to go into a lot of therapy and recalibrate.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like as a kid, it's like a mom dies, you love your mom. Maybe it hits you, but as an adult, to rewatch that movie and be like, feel anything during that scene, I don't see how it's possible.
You can't. I didn't. I don't understand why this movie. Everybody loves this movie. Don't understand it.
This was a bit in Sasquatch, my old sketch group. This was a runner. Is we ever needed like a line to just open a thing because it was like, you know, two people talking and if everybody comes in and sketch starts, the opening line of many of our sketches is like, oh, Bambi's the worst fucking movie ever made. That was like a runner we had because I was like, I hated it and I just would always throw it in.
It's a good,
that's how much I hate it.
It's a good line to throw in. I mean, this, I watched it. I mean, it's a hard movie to talk about because there really is there's no plot, right? You show up, you start off, Bambi is, I guess, the prince of the forest, being raised essentially by a single mom, absent dad, standing off in the distance. I guess it's supposed to be like cute, funny animals, sort of.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. I don't think Thumper's that funny. I don't think that any of these animals are like quirky or charismatic, really. The owl kind of, but not really.
Yep. Owl's a little like, there's definitely things that happen during the movie and there's definitely characters that show up, but none of these characters I care about. Also, if we're just talking about random stuff in this movie, what is the word Twitterpated and how did it start? Because it's just a word they made up for love. They just were like, we can't say the word love, I guess. So let's say Twitterpated, a phrase that never caught on.
We,
to this day, yeah.
I've never heard of anyone saying that they're Twitterpated.
Never.
It's one of those things that like they were trying to figure out a way to make it so you could talk about how horny the animals get without the kids knowing what that means, I think.
Why not say love? Why not say fall in love?
It's too complex, I guess. So they go, I don't know.
Twitter paid it. And it was like, what? Why do this? And that whole plot line happens. Lest we forget that plot line.
Horrible. Oh yeah. Quick. Everybody immediately, they're like, yeah, we're not gonna get Twitter paid. We're not gonna fall into this trap that all these birds are falling into. Yeah. And then as soon as they see any female version of their species, oh, all bets are off.
Hey, that one's a slightly female version of me. They're in. And they just get all Twitterpated.
This rabbit has curves instead of a long, skinny neck. Whoo, I might go for her. Sorry, Bambi. It's got
red cheeks, which makes it female.
Yes.
Somewhat red cheeks.
That's the signifier. Red cheeks or blue eyes, except for the skunk. Every female in this movie has blue eyes, except for Flower, who is a only blue-eyed man in this movie.
I mean, it's wild. It's a hard movie to discuss in a sense. The more I think about it, because it's like you can't even discuss a plot line. It's like, what plot is this movie? Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, you mentioned the dad character, who's our big payoff of the movie. The big payoff of the movie is the dad showing up.
Right.
Absent at the beginning. No mm-hmm. real reason why he's absent. Seemingly excused by the mother, horrifically. Not a good lesson. Not a good lesson for young boys to learn.
Not at all.
Of like, just leave. Don't worry. As long as you're doing some, as long as you're off fighting.
Yeah, listen, dad will come back when he needs to come back, okay? Just let him go do his thing.
But by the way, doesn't come back when he needs to come back because the mom dies.
Yep.
Then leaves Bambi on his own still. Then all of a sudden at the very end shows up. Still has the get up Bambi scene, which is upsetting.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't make... How all of a sudden, by the way, I assumed, because I saw Bambi jump over that ravine right before that scene happens. Uh-huh. And for context, if you haven't seen it in a while, listeners, this scene is right when the hunters, I guess, have abandoned their campfire and it catches the forest on fire. And Bambi has like, you think he's been shot. I thought he'd been shot because there's a gunshot that rings out as he jumps across the ravine. And so, of course, he's not going to be able to get up. He's injured. But then by the sheer dad willpower, his dad keeps saying, come on, get up, Bambi. And then
his dad comes up, does not help him, does not console him.
No.
Just says very sternly, get up, Bambi. And he says it like five times, just like that. And then Bambi's like, I guess that's all I'm going to get. And he wills himself up and then they run some more. And then the dad's just like, that's it. Now you're a man. And then the movie ends. And there's been no buildup of this dad. There's been no nothing. Nothing.
It's so sad that I can't really find even the willpower to care about this movie because I wanted to. I think that's the most disappointing thing at all is like...
Well, this is the thing. People think it's a good movie. It's talked about like it's good. But I'm like, mm-hmm. rewatch it as an adult and tell me what it's about.
I'm looking through some of the stuff, you know, not even just from a critical reception standpoint, which of course I'm going to say all of the critic reviews on this is pretty much garbage. but yes. there's a legacy, right. That has gone along with this movie. And this is straight from the Wikipedia section. This is how much meaning people have put on this movie. And this kind of tends to happen, I think, with movies that are in this vein where it's like it cares more about trying to make you feel something instead of having a plot that makes sense that will have characters that will make you feel things.
But every Disney movie does that. Go ahead. Sorry. But
no, but you're right. I think
every Disney movie Up made us feel that Inside Out is one of the greatest movies ever made. I cannot stress enough how much I love Disney.
Right.
They make great stuff. They teach Inside Out, I believe, is what is maybe... I have a whole joke about how good Inside Out is. It's one of the greatest movies ever made. The way it talked about the complexity of human emotion in a way that children could understand was mm-hmm. is impossible. Impossible. The way they explained how important it is to feel sad sometimes. Mm-hmm. What a brutal concept. And they did it brilliantly. And it's beautiful. And so it's like, I'm all about animated movies teaching great lessons, blah, blah, blah. But this stupid movie.
Right.
Thanks. Anyway, go ahead. What do these ridiculous people say about this?
And movie? I think, and to clarify, I think that it's not necessarily just about like, I'm trying to make you feel something. I think all great mm-hmm. movies should try to make you feel something. Mm-hmm. It's that this movie focuses so much more on style than substance. And it's almost like an art film or like an experimental movie in ways yeah. that I wouldn't expect from other Disney movies that I've seen, which do make me feel things. Yeah. But like, this is how fucking existential and highfalutin this movie is that the villain is just man. And mankind, and it's still listed as one of the top 100 heroes and villains on AFI's 100 heroes and villains list.
Is man?
Man. Paul McCartney has credited the shooting death of Bambi's mother for his initial interest in animal rights.
All right. That's good. That's something. That's a positive of this movie, I guess.
It's a positive, but like, why this?
It's on the look. I'll say this for Bambi. If I were to give this movie credit for something, I will say right side of history. Many older Disney movies you rewatch and you're like, oy kavoy, that is not the correct lesson to teach children.
Yes.
Or, you know, a Dumbo where we have multiple very offensive things.
Yes.
This movie does not have that. The, I'm going to throw in the word lesson very loosely, but the lesson of this movie, correct, holds up to this day.
Right.
So there's some good stuff there for what it's worth. Like, that I'll give it, I guess. I'll give it the fact that it is aged correctly as far as it's, because it's plotless, I guess.
Right.
There's nothing.
Well, there's no chances for anybody to try and throw in, like, minstrel show crows into this movie.
Yes. But what about the bird death scene, by the way? Let's not forget the bird death scene.
Oh, that's right.
Where the female bird's like,
where the freaking out, like, the quail.
I have to, like, fly have and to just
fly.
What's that scene all about? The hell's that thing?
I don't know, man. This movie is it's a tough fucking movie because it's so. It's one of those movies that I want to have. I mean, I can't not say the animation is bad. The animation looks nice. It's picturesque. Great. It's painterly.
Oh, those old Disneys are so beautiful. Like we watched even Cinderella during quarantine, and I was like, this looks great. It's like, this looks so fun. This is such a, like, that's a movie that holds up way better than you remember it. That thing is. Cinderella has so many nice moving parts. It's really scary. Mm-hmm. It, like, really builds stakes. It does a great job. These older, you know, I'm a huge, again, big Disney guy. Love Disney. It's my dream is to be in a Disney animated. That is like 100% one of my dreams, in my life to be involved with that company. I think the product they put out is sensational. And I was one of very few people who, when they took Star Wars, I was like, great. And everybody was like, they're going to ruin it. And I was like, no, they're going to expand it. I was like, but they know how to do things. They know how to do correctly over there. They take their time. They do things right. And I've been proven right. What they've done with Star Wars has been phenomenal, I think. I thought the new movies were great. I think The Mandalorian was a great add-on to the world. I'm already excited about the other stuff they're doing. Like so much that Disney does. And this movie stinks in comparison.
It's bad.
Treat it like it's good. Ridiculous.
Everybody wants to think that this movie is like saying something groundbreaking or doing something groundbreaking that I guess now that I really think about it, it's one of those movies where at the time it probably came out, everybody was like, oh my God. And it set this bar. But now the bar has been cleared so many times by other movies that
100%.
It just feels, it's not even that it feels dated. I think that the animation's still beautiful and still really holds up, but it just, like, it doesn't feel like anything.
And, you know, there are Disney movies, animated movies that have gone by that you forget exist. You know, there's your Great Mouse Detectives. There's your The Rescuers.
How can people forget about those? It's such a sad. I love both of those movies.
All the time. Rescuers Down Under. Phenomenal. A good sequel. How often does that happen?
There's a reason we're talking about Bambi and not Bambi 2, which everybody forgot about.
Didn't even know there was a Bambi 2. I'm disgusted to hear it exists. We went as the Rescuers for Halloween one year.
Oh,
cute outfit.
That's a great idea. It was a real hit
at the party. Oh yeah. You go with an old Disney. That's key to the Halloween. Fun fact. If you're looking for a good Halloween, just go with an obscure Disney one. Ooh, it'll be a hit. Hit the second you show up.
But this, I mean, if I'm looking at some of the other things that people talked about, right, when they talked about Bambi coming out. By the way, Bambi 2, if you want to find out more info about what happened with Bambi's dad raising young Bambi, Bambi 2's what you got. That's what's there for you. Yeah.
Is there a plot?
I've never seen it. I'm basing it all off the Wikipedia page, and I don't intend to go see it. But, you know, one of the things that people talk about in this movie is like, oh, this is a great, there's a great love story here. There's a great friendship story here. And I think that, particularly for the friendship angle, if I'm going to pick a Disney movie from around this time to showcase friendship, I'm going to go with Fox and the Hound instead of this all the time, 10 times out of 10.
It's like, yeah. And then we go into like, I mean, think about movies. I'm trying to think of when Bambi actually came out as far as that time period, but it's like, how far was Aladdin away from this?
It was pretty far. Bambi was 1942.
Woo.
Yeah.
That is old. So what was around it? What was around it timeline wise?
Timeline wise, we have got, let's see. So this is right after Dumbo, and then immediately before that, Fantasia, which, by the way, speaking of movies that I think focus on style over substance, Fantasia does a much better job because it's just music videos, but
that was the plot of the thing was like, mm-hmm. Hey, we're doing music videos. Like,
exactly.
I think that thing was, that was a choice.
Right. Exactly.
Fantasia.
Right after this, you've got Three Caballeros, which is another fun, underrated Disney movie.
All right. Wait, they were in dark times. What happened here? Hang on.
This is like early Disney, right? So Snow White is 1937. Then you get Pinocchio, Fantasia, Dumbo, then Bambi.
Okay, so wait. Say that list again.
Snow White first, and then Pinocchio, Fantasia, Dumbo, Bambi.
Before Cinderella?
Yeah, Cinderella was 1950. Bambi was whole 8 years before Cinderella.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But then after that, I mean, the 50s. Oh, the 50s is
that's
wild.
When they light it up. That's
Cinderella.
When they
Alice in Wonderland. Let's Peter go. Pan. Lady and the Tramp.
Come on.
Sleeping Beauty.
Oh.
You can't beat that. What a row. And then
they're on a tear.
You can't, I mean, they're just going straight off to the races from there until I guess. I mean, I don't know what your feelings on Oliver and Company are, which is 1988. Maybe a little bit of a hitch in the giddy-up.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. Oliver and Company does not hold up well. It's a bad one. Oliver and Company is not good. I mean, there's some... Listen, Three Caballeros also is fine, but it's no...
Oh, it's... Great. But I would even rank Three Caballeros ahead of Bambi.
I'll rank anything above Bambi. I hate this movie.
What about Fun and Fancy Free?
The hell's that?
Exactly. But I'm still going to rank it above Bambi. I think I saw that on the Disney Channel like once.
All right. So let's see. Hang on. So here we go. Let's see here. All right. Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, December 21st, 1937. Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Goes without saying. Pinocchio. Got it. Fantasia, The Reluctant Dragon. Dumbo, Bambi, back to back, just two brutal movies. Song of the South comes out right after it. Yikes.
Ooh, maybe that's why Song of the South is not even on this list.
Oh, what's your list? My list is Song of the South's on here. Does not hold up great.
You know what it is? It's because it was under live action with animation instead of full on.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to go full.
I see it now.
The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, and then we get into Cinderella, Peter Pan, Lion, Tramp, and then they just start hitting 101 Dalmatians in here, Sword Classic. In the Stone, mm-hmm. Mary Poppins, Jungle Book, Aristocats. Then they just smacking it over and over.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks, another underrated Disney movie.
Oh,
love Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yes, holds up great.
I watched that way more than I watched Bambi as a child.
I watched anything more than Bambi. That's the thing about Bambi, right? The thing Bambi has done is that you watch it as a child, you cry when the mom dies,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't care for it. You forget this as a kid. You were like, I guess it was sad, but like, what was that about? And then you forget. And it just sort of enters your brain as, oh, it's a good classic Disney. And you forget that it was bad. I think that's the issue, is most people haven't seen it as adults. They just forgot. Mm-hmm. And you see little snippets online. And the thing about Bambi is, because there's no plot, it has these little snippet moments, right? Like the rain scene and a couple of these other, like the ice scene, where you're like, oh, what a cute moment in that movie. And you forget that there's no plot.
Mm-hmm.
No plot.
No plot.
Ridiculous.
If there was anything you could do, if you were given the power to remake Bambi, what would you do? What would your plot of, what would you focus on?
Oh, because to remake Bambi would be the dream, right? Because it's the perfect situation to walk into, because you walk in going, okay, so this first one stands on its own, but it was plotless. So let's actually pick a plot line. Like that would be, like if I was walking in to redo Bambi, I'd be like, great. So here's the good news. Mm-hmm. Other than there's a deer, we could really do whatever we want here. I would probably go into what does the first movie really tackle? Like, I'd be like, all right, to respect the old one, we have to have a deer.
Yep.
Probably have to have it's probably gonna be about a family dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's going to be about man is the villain, right? So those are probably the two things we have to keep.
Yeah.
I'd probably throw out the rest. I'd probably keep Twitter pated because it's just so goofy. I'm like, oh, we could work with that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And
the social media marketing potential of the word Twitter pated. I mean, you just can't ignore that.
You can't write that. You can't write it. You can't it's write a better net. Situation.
Right. Come on.
So what would I do? I could go in a couple of different directions. I think probably my initial pitch would be, okay, let's deepen this story. And let's deal with the premise of growing up with one parent, right? That's a common thing in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up with one parent is incredibly difficult. And it's true for many children. Many children grow up in a single parent household.
Mm-hmm.
So let's focus in on that. Let's tell the story of a young deer and his mother and how hard it is for her to keep him safe in this scary world. And then if we do kill her halfway through the movie, which I think we have to keep, despite the fact I don't like it, something about then, you know, just, I don't know, then it's the single father and we sort of cover that. And at the end, maybe it's a lesson about like, just as long as you have somebody who cares about you, how lucky are you? Something like that. I think we could tell that story. Or we go into like the more, you know, hand in your face, a story about, you know, animals trying to fight back against man. And we focus less on the family element.
Right.
That's also another version of this movie you could do.
More of a wacky over the hedge version of the movie.
Yeah, like an over the hedge, but we're doing Bambi. Yeah, it's really like an army of these guys.
Yeah.
But I probably just off pitching this, I'm like, oh, I love the, I would feel very excited about working on a project where I was like, let's really cover single parent households mm-hmm. through the lens of Bambi. I think that'd be a great movie.
Yeah, I think that would be not only a great movie, but a much more relevant one than mm-hmm. the Bambi we have.
Yep. And we know nature, you know, it's like 100%. I mean, listen, anything's more relevant than the Bambi we have, but also, but you know what I mean? Like that's my thing when I, you know, and I've done it a little bit in my career, pitched on IP is I don't like doing it because it's usually like, all right, well, this first one told a story. And if it's just similar IP, it's like, well, we're probably going to have to tell the same basic story, which means we're just kind of redoing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of going in a room with something like Bambi, where I could be like, cool, so this thing stinks, but people know the name. Great. It's basically what Archie did, right? Archie had the perfect situation. Everybody right. knows Archie, but nobody actually gave a shit about Archie. Because it's right. just been this thing that's been around forever. So they were able to brilliantly go, okay, we have this name people know, but what if we did whatever the fuck we want with it? And they built Riverdale. It was mm-hmm. smart. Got to reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's much harder to do that with an actual good piece of IP.
Right. And I think, yeah, I mean, Bambi would be so perfect for that mm-hmm. complete reimagining.
Yep.
And it doesn't even have to be this sort of, You could do a reverse Riverdale on it where it doesn't have to be the dark version that already exists as Bambi. Bambi's a really dark and weird movie.
Yeah.
you could do a very fun, lighthearted, but also touching on this relevant, sort of serious topic about single parent households.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Thank you so much.
You're booked. You're hired.
Hey, I'm a good pitcher. I'm good at pitching.
I work for Disney now. This has not been a podcast. This has been a long form job interview.
Oh my God. This is my dream. If anyone knows anyone at Disney, let them know. I'm hot off the presses with, well, don't let them know my true feelings about Bambi, but I guess let them know a little bit. But I would feel comfortable saying it to Disney. If I went in a meeting, I'd be like, look, just going to be honest with you about this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't care for it.
And you want to know a fun, you got somebody in the Disney family on your side. Diane Disney.
Who's that?
The only biological child of Walt Disney and his wife, Lillian Bounds Disney.
Oh.
Saying Bambi's mother didn't need to die. Did not like this movie.
Good. Yeah.
So you got one Disney member of the family already same page as you. You can convert everybody else. You already converted me.
I can convert anyone on Bambi. I think Bambi's very similar to a lot of the jokes I like to do. I've never turned it into a joke, but very similar to jokes I do where, you know, like fireworks or a couple of my other jokes where it's like, hey, here's a thing you love. Now I'm just going to make you think about it for 2 seconds and I guarantee you actually hate it. And it's like, Bambi's very down that aisle for me as far as writing jokes where I'm like, I could convince anyone this movie. It's not even convincing them. Just literally look at anyone who says Bambi is good and be like, great, what's the plot?
Mm-hmm. As soon as I rewatched it, I was coming in my mind. I was like, I'm going to go. I always, whenever, especially when I watch a movie for the podcast, I always try and come in with an open mind. And almost immediately I was like, oh, this movie actually is very bad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have any problem not defending this movie.
Well, right. Cause about 15 minutes in, because you're watching, it's cute. It's well done. As you said, better animation than you thought, like, oh, wow, looks good. And then there's a moment about 15 minutes in where you're like, hey, what's this about?
Yeah.
Why are we just moving from place to place?
Hey, how much of this movie is going to be animals saying hello to each other?
Yep. And then all of a sudden, and then 20 minutes in, you start thinking back and you go, wait a second. I know what else still has to happen in this movie because I have vague memories of it. And none of them involve a plot line. Hey, wait a second. And then it just slowly hits you.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Can I just also, I don't even know how I haven't brought this up yet. So the first time that Bambi and his mother go into the meadow, I totally thought that was when she was going to die. Because it's like 20 something minutes in ish.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense from a structural standpoint for the,
something should happen there. Yeah.
And if we get to watch Bambi's mom die at that moment, it's just like, oh, I can see why that would be so affecting. Mm-hmm. But for nothing to happen, and then for the actual death to happen another like 20 or 30 minutes after that.
Yeah.
It's just like, why? It just feels like such a waste.
Yeah. It's about halfway through the movie is when the mom dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're like, at that point, you're like, oh, it's sad, but also like, what? Why?
It's weird for a 70 minute movie to feel poorly paced, but that's.
It's 70 minutes too.
It's 70.
It's a long 70, isn't it?
It's a long 70.
It's a long 70. In my mind, it's 2 hours long. It's 70 minutes.
Yeah. This episode is almost, it's more than half of the length of the movie Bambi. And I think arguably more interesting than the entirety of the movie Bambi.
It just does it. Anyone listening to this being like, no, it's great. It's like, great. Just rewatch it. Rewatch it as an adult and just try to find what makes this movie good. You'll never come up with it.
And maybe you're like Paul McCartney. Maybe it inspired you to care about animal rights. Maybe it inspired you to care about the environment. Cool.
It's just so interesting Bambi did that to him because it's like there's so many animal Disney movies where animals die and it's sad, you know? So it's like, why this one? You know, versus even a Dumbo where it's like the mom being taken away is so affecting.
I will say this. I am glad that they didn't hire Tim Burton to remake this the way they hired him to remake Dumbo. This would
And that's right. Like that's the opposite. That's the direction I fear they would go in if they remake it. There's either two directions, right? They go the. I don't want to be too mean. Trying to reflex this.
You're gonna be mean. I mean, well, if you don't want to, I don't mean, like. I, get it.
I don't
from a,
like
from
I,
a mean perspective.
Look. Their new Lion King, you can go that route where you basically do the exact and new Aladdin where you basically do the exact same movie, but like it looks better. We just take new technology, right? You do the Lion King Jungle Book route.
Right.
That I do not think works for Bambi because the movie itself doesn't hold up very well.
Mm-hmm.
And also that becomes, I find those to be very like, whatever. It's like, who cares if the lion looks more real? If anything, it's like takes away the fun. Then there's the route of like, right, the Tim Burton route, which is like make this movie darker, which it's like, no, don't do that. We don't need to do that. This movie's dark. This movie's dark. I don't like dark for Disney. I don't find that to be effective for the most part for me. How about you? Do you find it to work? I find like a dark Alice in Wonderland. I'm just like, all right, well, now it's obviously not dark enough to be like adult dark.
Right.
And it's not good for the kids either. It's like, what is this? What is this middle road we're walking?
I was just at, I don't find the darkness working for me either. And I say that as somebody who has not even tried to take the time to watch those live action versions of these old animated movies that they're just up.
You don't need to, because they're just the exact same movie. Yeah. It's like, I don't know why they do that. I guess there's an audience for it. I'm sure they do very well in the box office. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, I'm always like, hey, look, if you're getting, you know, same way I feel about stand-up comedy where I'm like, hey, I might not love a comic, but if they're getting someone now to a comedy club, that's good for comedy on the whole. I support it. You know,
I have on the not doing a live action version, by the way, note, I have some troubling news for both of us now, which is that they are in development on a photorealistic CGI feature length remake in as a companion piece to The Jungle Book and The Lion King.
Wait, for Bambi?
For Bambi.
Ugh.
And it's
exactly the route I wouldn't go.
Exactly it.
Like, that's literally exactly what I wouldn't do. I was like, you need to rethink Bambi. Take the initial bones, and I mean bare bones of that OG, and put your own spin on it. What you cannot do is just make the deer look more realistic and follow that exact same. That will bomb in the box office.
Yeah, it's not going to go well. They've got two screenwriters on it. They've got a bunch of producers, and I think it's just going to be hot, pretty garbage.
How many screenwriters do you think they'll go through by the end of it?
Well, they've already got two on, so I imagine they'll probably get at least another two on there, maybe three. It'll probably
they'll just keep rewriting it. Man, they love rewriting movies like that. They love they'll just keep rewriting it. It's just going to be a smorgasbord of 20 different writers. Only five will be credited, but like when you deal with like these, like some of these, you can tell there's certain Disney movies you watch and you're like, wow, it feels like every scene was written by a different person. Because they literally will do that. I don't get it. I don't get the rewriting thing. Because at the end of the day, this movie will never work, right? So rather than abandon it, they'll sink so much money into this thing. Oh, and it's just gonna
burn. But here's how we to the Disney executives that are absolutely not listening to this unless somehow it winds up on their podcast app. Hire Danny as one of those writers. And have him fix your movie for you. Because this is going to be a travesty unless you let Danny get his hot, fresh take on there.
Do something with it. Don't even have to be me. This is free of charge, Disney. Don't do it unless you're going to have a writer put in time and effort. to rethink this thing, because the bare bones of, because again, it's almost the perfect movie to remake. Mm-hmm. You have, it's the right movie to remake. You have the right one. Remaking Beauty and the Beast, you can do it and it'll do fine in the box office, but what are you going to change? The movie's perfect. The mm-hmm. old one's perfect. The new one's going to be just that again, because why would you change the thing? It's perfect. Beauty right. and the Beast is a perfect film. Bambi is structurally a train wreck and not good. Great. What an opportunity to take that world and make it a little bit better, and particularly not to Tim Burton it and not to Lion King it, but to instead go, how can we sweeten Bambi? How can we make the viewpoint a little bit clearer? Actually tell a story.
And I can do it. Unless you work your magic on there. So Danny, for all the listeners out there, Disney heads and otherwise, who want to get in touch with you on social media and figure out, see how I turned that around. Look at that. Brilliant. Seamless transition to the end.
Unbelievable.
That's what happens when you do 258 episodes of a show.
Oh my God. You've been plugging
away. Along. Speaking Let's of plugs, go. Danny's social media, where can they find you?
All right, so here's my plugs. First off, okay, so social media at Danny Jolles, Jolles. Follow me. It's very important. It really helps. But more importantly, please go watch my special for free. I put it out for free. It was a huge career risk, a financial, just I cannot make money basically off this thing. And I don't really care. I just want people to see it because I think we made something really good. And I took a gamble on it because I believed in the product. So please, if you can reward me a little and just watch it, it would mean the world to me. And then my third thing, final plug, I say this on every podcast I do, except a couple, because sometimes they don't do plugs at the end. Stand-up comedy is like hockey. It is very fun to watch on TV, but it is just a different experience live. It is just a better product live. So please, if you're listening to this and you watch a lot of specials on TV, but you don't go see live stand-up comedy, please don't worry about seeing me. Don't worry about seeing Jay. Just go look up your local comedy club/outdoor venue and go see live stand-up comedy. You'll have the best night of your life. It is so much better than you realize it is. Please go see live stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And it's come, and live stand-up's coming back. So go, especially now, if you can go see it somewhere safe, go see it.
Yeah. You doing outdoor shows?
I am. I'll have to talk to you after this. I'm running an outdoor show. I'd love to have you on sometime.
Oh, I'd love to do it. I'm hunting spots, but I've done a solid amount. I love them.
Yeah. If you're in LA, I got an outdoor show called Chirp and Turf, listeners, every Thursday night, me and my buddy Andrew and CV co-hosts, great time. And we'll have Danny on one soon, so you can see him live.
Oh, I'd love to do it.
And you can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for show dates, live and live streamed. And if you like the podcast, tell somebody and share it with a friend and maybe consider subscribing to the Patreon, which I am in the process of reconfiguring a little bit. But we're going to get there one of these days. You got to do
gotta.
It. Got to.
Got to get that Patreon going.
Yes. Well, Danny, thanks again, dude.
Buddy, thank you for having me.
Happy to have you. This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.